Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, to ask a question, please press star and then one. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. I'll now turn the meeting over to your host, Dr. Monique Chisholm. You may now begin.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this afternoon. I'm glad that everyone received the information in the chat function about the call-in information. We apologize that there was some miscommunication. You might recall that we've had several conversations over the course of the last year about the ESEA flexibility data profiles. And we are really happy that we are in a place now that we are actually ready to release these profiles to you. As each of you recall, each state that has received ESEA flexibility was required to design a differentiated system of recognition, accountability, and support for their schools and districts. And in doing so, states have a number of different ways that they have chosen to identify schools. The department also put out some guidance related to how to identify focus and priority schools. As you know, as these systems rolled out, there was a lot of conversation within states and also to us at the department about whether or not those systems accurately identified schools for the right categories. We thought it would be helpful to provide a technical assistance tool to support conversations, and I want to reiterate that this is a technical assistance tool that will support conversations about your accountability system. And really the goal is to just start a dialogue and have conversations about things that we are seeing in the identification of schools in relationship to the information that we have within the U.S. Department of Education. We recognize that all of the data points that we have do not mirror the data points that you have within your state. And so that's why we're signaling this as a conversation and a dialogue. It really, truly is our intent that this is these data profiles, will be tools that help to support your conversations and your thinking as you prepare for the renewal process. So I'll emphasize once again that these are technical assistance tools. There are no requirements that go along with these tools, and they are truly meant to support your continuous improvement conversations and your efforts to further your system. We have the great pleasure of having Dr. Terrace Ross that is joining us today to help to delve into these profiles and to present them at a very high level so that we can all understand what you will receive. We sent a sample profile out with the message, so hopefully everyone has received that, which will make it easier to go through the webinar. And just to flag for everyone, we will release the data profiles on a rolling basis beginning on Wednesday of this week. And we will notify states as those profiles are available throughout the next couple of weeks. You will note that you can send in questions using the chat function. So if you want to type in a question during the presentation, please feel free to do that. We will also open the line at the end of the webinar to field any voice questions that people might have. And so it's my great pleasure to turn this over now to Dr. Terrace Ross from our Policy and Program Studies Services Division.
Thank you, Monique. And welcome everyone to this webinar on the purpose and content of the ESEA flexibility analysis. The flex analysis was designed to examine the characteristics of schools identified by each SEA's differentiated accountability system for the 2012-13 and 2013-14 school years, including the performance of all students and all subgroups based on, respectively, 2011-12 and 2012-13 student achievement and graduation rate data. This analysis is not meant to replicate the identification of schools under each state system. Each profile, even those created for year two, includes only 1 year of student achievement and graduation rate data. States may have used more than 1 year of data to identify low-performing schools and subgroups. The focus of this analysis is on school characteristics at the time that schools were identified for recognition, intervention, and support under ESEA flexibility. Hence, 2011-12 data are timely for this purpose for Windows 1 and 2. 2012-13 data are timely for Windows 3 and 4, as well as for Year 2 profiles for Windows 1 and 2 states, which examine school performance after the first year of implementing ESEA flexibility in those states. These profiles are one tool that states can use to analyze whether their identification systems worked as intended to capture the lowest performing schools and subgroups. They are not intended to determine whether a state system is good or bad. The analysis looks at student achievement data in reading and mathematics and graduation rate data for ESEA and combined subgroups where applicable. For reading and mathematics, the analysis includes an examination across priority, focus, and all other Title I schools of schools and subgroups performing at or below the fifth percentile, schools having large subgroup proficiency gaps, with, quote, large being defined as exceeding the state-level gap by one or more standard deviations, and schools and subgroups meeting AMO targets. The analysis also examines schools and subgroups with graduation rates below 60%, schools with large subgroup graduation rate gaps, schools and subgroups meeting graduation rate targets, and school and subgroup performance against the 95% participation rate target formerly required under ESEA. The FLEX analysis uses data to produce 14 exhibits that describe specific characteristics among Title I participating schools only. The years of data that we use vary depending on the profile. 2011-12 data are used for year one profiles for the window at 1 and 2 states. 2012-13 data are used for the year one profiles for windows 3 and 4 states and for the year two profiles for windows 1 and 2 states. So the window 1 and 2 states have two data profiles. Please note that due to different numbers of schools included in each analysis from year to year, the department advises states to view these year one and year two profiles as separate reports rather than as a trend analysis. Prior to the analysis, the department conducted a thorough data quality review and provided extensive outreach to states. States with large amounts of missing or low quality data were encouraged to resubmit accurate and complete data files. Some examples of data quality issues the department observed include a small number of states with a large percentage of operational schools that were missing Title I participation or eligibility status, states not reporting graduation rate indicator data, and states not reporting reading or mathematics data for ESEA subgroups. In cases where the department did not receive a response to our outreach, our decision rule for missing or low-quality state-submitted data was to exclude specific analyses or exhibits from a state's profile and provide an explanation in the state's cover letter. In the case of less pervasive data quality issues, the decision rule called for excluding specific schools from an analysis or exhibit with an explanation provided in the technical notes for that exhibit. As Monique mentioned, you should have received an example profile, which I will now walk through using the slides. Now let's walk through what a state profile looks like and how to interpret the exhibits. In Exhibit 1 of the example profile, we see a simple distribution of priority, focus, and all other Title I schools for each state. As you can see from the Exhibit Reads section at the bottom, in this state, among Title I participating schools, 5% were identified as priority schools, 10% were identified as focus schools, and 85% were among all other Title I schools for 2012-13. Each exhibit is also followed by a description of the EdFax data source used in the analysis. Exhibit 2 shows the distribution of priority, focus, and all other Title I schools by elementary, middle, high, and non-standard school levels. Non-standard schools are those that serve grade configurations other than the standard elementary, middle, or high school configuration. An example would be K-12 schools. More information on this is provided in the technical notes for the profile. As the exhibit reads indicates, in this state, among Title I participating elementary schools, 4% were identified as priority schools, 10% were identified as focus schools, and 86% were among all other Title I schools, participating schools for 2012-13. In addition to identifying priority and focus schools, some accountability systems include state-defined status levels that provide an accountability status for all schools. In Exhibit 3, looking at the exhibit reads, we see that in this state, among Title I participating schools categorized as A schools, 0% were identified as priority schools, 0% were identified as focus schools, and 100% of A schools are among all other Title I participating schools for 2012-13. However, reading the exhibit for F schools, we see that in this state, among Title I participating schools categorized as F schools, 41% were identified as priority schools, 44% were identified as focus schools, and 14% were among all other Title I participating schools for 2012-13. The source note highlighted below indicates that EdFax Data Group 779 on state-defined school status was used for this analysis and that it includes 958 Title I participating schools and what that distribution is by A through F status. Explanations for any school exclusions are provided in the technical appendix. Looking at the distribution by school characteristics, we can see in Exhibit 4 that compared to the group of all other Title I schools, a higher percentage of priority and focus schools are alternative schools, as you can see by the 7 versus 3%. And a higher percentage of priority and focus schools are charter schools at 9% compared to 7% in the all other Title I schools category. On this same exhibit, we can also see that there is a higher percentage of students who are Black, Hispanic, eligible for free or reduced price lunch, with disabilities, and with limited English proficiency among priority and focus schools than in all other Title I schools. Looking at low performance among priority, focus, and all other Title I schools, in Exhibit 5, we see that in this state, among Title I participating schools, 30% of priority schools, as indicated in orange, 10% of focus schools, as indicated in tan, and 2% of all other Title I participating schools, as indicated in blue, scored in the bottom 5th percentile statewide in terms of the performance of the all students group in reading in 2011-12. Overall, this state's lowest performing subgroups were primarily located in their priority and focus schools. Looking at large subgroup gaps among priority, focus, and all other Title I schools, in Exhibit 7, we see that in this state, among Title I participating schools, 0% of priority schools, 5% of focus schools, and 7% of all other Title I participating schools had a performance gap between black and non-black students that exceeded the state level gap by one or more standard deviations in reading in 2011-12. Further, in both reading and in mathematics, a higher percentage of other Title I schools had large subgroup gaps between black and non-black students and between students with disabilities and students and non-disabled students than did priority and focus schools in this state. Looking at low graduation rates among priority, focus, and all other Title I schools, in Exhibit 8, we see that in this state, among Title I participating schools, 0% of priority schools, 23% of focus schools, and 14% of all other Title I participating schools had a four-year adjusted cohort graduation rate below 60% for the all students group in 2011-12. Compared to all other Title I schools, a higher percentage of priority and or focus schools had graduation rates below 60% for the all students group and among students with disabilities, limited English proficient students, economically disadvantaged students, Hispanic students, and for students in the combined subgroup. Looking at large subgroup graduation rate gaps among priority, focus, and all other Title I schools, in Exhibit 9, we see that in this state, among Title I participating schools, 0% of priority schools, 0% of focus schools, and 9% of all other Title I participating schools had a graduation rate gap between black and non-black students that exceeded the state level gap by one or more standard deviations in 2011-12. Compared to all other Title I schools, a higher percentage of focus schools had large graduation rate subgroup gaps between Hispanic and non-Hispanic students, students with disabilities and non-disabled students, LEP students and non-LEP students, and economically disadvantaged students and non-economically disadvantaged students. Moving on to AMO status among priority, focus, and all other Title I schools, in Exhibit 10, we see that in this state, among Title I participating schools, 14% of priority schools, 34% of focus schools, and 53% of all other Title I participating schools met the state-defined reading AMO target for the all students group in 2011-12. Across all subgroups, higher percentages of other Title I schools met the AMO in reading compared to priority and focus schools. While states were not required to use AMOs to identify priority and focus schools, states were required to use AMOs to inform interventions and supports for other Title I schools. And progress against AMOs is a key factor in determining whether schools are serving all subgroups of students. Looking at participation rate status among priority focus in all of the Title I schools, in Exhibit 11, we see that in this state, among Title I participating schools, 96% are priority schools, 98% are focus schools, and 98% of all other Title I participating schools met the reading 95% participation rate requirement for the all students group in 2011-12. Compared to priority and focus schools, a higher percentage of all other Title I schools met the 95% participation rate target in reading, except among American Indian, American Indian, Black, and White students. Looking at status on graduation rate targets for priority focus in all of the Title I schools, in Exhibit 14, the final exhibit, we see that in this state, among Title I participating high schools, 75% of priority schools, 78% of focus schools, and 86% of all other Title I participating schools met the state-defined four-year adjusted cohort graduation rate target for the all students group in 2011-12. Priority and focus schools had lower individual subgroup performance against graduation rate targets than all other Title I schools, with the exception of American Indian, Asian, and Black students. To facilitate your use of the profile of the data, your profile is accompanied by an Excel file data extract which contains data sources, retrieval dates, and a data summary which includes a list of all variables, data quality indicators, indicators that flag schools that are included in or excluded from each of the exhibits, and step-by-step instructions for recreating selected multi-step descriptive analyses from the profile, if you choose. For example, to see the 958 Title I participating schools that the source note indicates are included in Exhibit 3, and I'll go back to remind you of what I'm referring to. Remember, in Exhibit 3, the source note tells us that this exhibit includes 958 Title I participating schools and what the distribution is by A through F status. In the Excel data file extract, you will be able to filter on inclusion and exclusion flags to see those 958 schools. To do that, on the data tab, when you receive your data file extract, on the data tab at the bottom, from there, scroll to the column in the spreadsheet labeled Exhibit 3 Flags. This tells you which schools are included in Exhibit 3 or excluded. Use the filter to select Included in Exhibit. The counter at the bottom of the screen, on the next slide, once you filter, the counter at the bottom of the screen, it's hard to see here, will tell you that there are 958 schools included in Exhibit 3, and each row of the spreadsheet represents one of those 958 schools. You could do the opposite filter to see which schools were excluded from the exhibit due to a number of reasons. For example, Title I school missing state-defined accountability status, which is one reason a school could be excluded. As for next steps, profiles will be sent to groups of states in batches. The first batch of profiles will be sent on December 17th. After each release, states will have 10 business days to respond with any technical corrections that may be needed. If states have questions or need technical assistance, please submit those questions to your Office of State Support State Lead in writing. TPSS staff, such as myself, will review and respond to technical questions in writing within 1 to 2 business days. If clarifications are still needed, the OSS State Lead will schedule a call between myself and individual State Flex Leads. That concludes the webinar presentation. Are there any questions?
So Jen, we'd like to go ahead and open up the line for any questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. For participants, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then 1. Please remember to unmute your phone and record your name clearly and slowly. When prompted, your name is required to introduce your question, and to cancel your request, you may press star and then 2. One moment, please, while we wait for the question. Once again, for participants, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then 1. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star and then 1. Speakers, we don't have any questions on queue.
Okay, so I guess seeing no questions, I know it's a lot of information to take in, and it's probably going to be most beneficial to take a look at your own individual state profile once you receive it. If you have any questions before that time, please do reach out to us. You should have the example mock state profile. If not, we're happy to send that to you. And then just to review, as Terrace mentioned, we will start to release in groups state profiles to states beginning Wednesday and then on a rolling basis thereafter. States will have 10 days to respond with any technical corrections that might be needed. That will be important because we anticipate that at the end of January, beginning of February, the profiles will be made public. So we'll see if there's, Jen, one more round of questions, and otherwise we'll go ahead and close out for today.
Once again, for participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and then 1. To cancel your request, you may press star and then 2.
We can tell them this.
Yes, I see the question about whether Ed will be informing states about when they will receive their profiles and data. In general, yes, we can make the scheduled batch release information available. I will note, however, that states with some outstanding data quality issues are in the last set of batches, and so the schedule is predicated on receiving complete data from those states. So what we have is a proposed schedule.
And I will go ahead and send out our proposed schedule to the ESEA Flex contacts that we have on file and also the Title I coordinators so that you have that information.
Speakers, we still don't have any questions on queue at this time.
Okay, well, thanks. I think that people are probably just taking the information in and questions might come up as we go along. So I just want to thank everyone again for their participation in this webinar. And if you have any questions or if you need anything, please feel free to reach out to us. We hope that you have a great rest of the day. Thanks.
Thank you.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.